You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Holy cow, we made it! Woo! Loving it, loving it, loving it.
Off the rails before it even started.
Hex, yes. 27th annual Pizza Summit starts in 1 hour. Some of you have misunderstood. This is not a ticketed event. I got a couple of messages. How do I get pictures? How do I get tickets to this Pizza Summit?
Hey, man, I can be bought.
$75 for VIP seating. with a meet and greet with Matt Neely.
Then it's only 50.
He'll sign a tambourine for you for $150.
$75 for a ticket. If you meet Matt, it's only 50. So yeah. It's like Jack Benny. You know, the seats up front are more expensive than the seat. The seats in the back are more expensive than the seats up front.
Let's get our holidays out for today, because once we get the Pizza Summit, it's over. What do you got here?
Here you go. Oh,
celebration of the senses.
Sounds very new agey. Sedona's going to be rocking today.
Get your tarps up on your sweat lodges, kids. We're going to be doing it up. What else do we got? International Fairy Day.
Do you guys do fairies in Dungeons & Dragons, or is it only...
We do have fairies.
Yeah, okay.
Who knew I was going to say that this morning? There's a variety of fairies in Dungeons & Dragons, so thank you very much. Betsy can tell us, because she has that little house problem over there on Swan and Fort Lowell. They just have a little laser fairy. When you'd walk in, it was kind of like a projection.
A hologram? Really?
Like a hologram thing. Wow. Of a fairy. So some of you, last time you saw fairies, you had a bad batch of shrooms or something. But Betsy, let us know what's the name of that fairy that I don't know. And it's still working, that laser fairy. I'm impressed. So, what else do we have? The museum comes to life day.
Speaking of the Minnetime Museum.
That's the word, Minnetime Museum. Thank you very much. National Eat at a Food Truck Day, and then it's National Food Truck Day. That's curious.
Go figure. you think that would just, they just include that into the other one?
Oh, the fairy's name Caitlin.
Caitlin.
So okay. The question is, Betsy, does Caitlin still work? You know, there's like, it's still operational, like the Death Star. Is it quite operational?
Does Caitlin drink rosé, because it is rosé day?
Betsy might drink rosé.
You never know.
Take your dog to work day. Always a good day. So if you can handle your dog. So that's always one of my favorite things about dogs, right? With people with their dogs, the ones that they say they have control of their dogs is always the one that's like just starts humping your leg or attacking your children. Right, it's like when you say you're cool, you're not actually cool, right? It's like you're at the park, the guy's got the two big Rottweilers, right? And I'm like, and you're kind of a little nervous, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh no, I got control of this, and the dog's like totally on top of your 5-year-old.
Is Keith Jackson, was he trying to get in here just a minute ago?
You love my Keith Jackson impression.
I absolutely love it. Are you kidding?
I got total control of my Rottweilers, Mitzi and Bitsy.
There you go.
As they go rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling over your 4-year-old daughter.
In the shoulders of the San Gabriel Mountains.
Yeah, so of course you're right. We're going to go all over the place. Keith Jackson doing anything to do with, the network stars is always amazing. The Cheap Seat guys have a great one. It's Keith Jackson covering for Wide World of Sports. Mexican cliff diving.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Paco Garcia coming off the 23-meter. You know, just the best. So, anyway, what else do we got? So, we got Rocco, Matt Russell. McCluskey's coming on sometime today. Unless he fell asleep, he said, because with babies and all this stuff, he's been going crazy. So we should see Sean. And then we have Susan from the Gluten Free Girls. That'll make Pat happy. Hirsch. We got Matt Cable from Fresco. And then we have, and he's bringing, so he says, I'm going to bring Joe Espina in from Mama's, right? And they go, I haven't seen Joe in 29 years. They go, oh, no, it's the third Joe Espina. So it's the next generation of Espinas.
Well, cool.
So I'm looking forward to meet him.
Connection, I will tell you how fair.
Very cool. Now, what's really funny, so I said to some people, like when I did about the summit, right? I won't say who this restaurant is, but it's just funny how people do it, right? And they're like, I said, if you're participating in the pizza throwdown tomorrow, which the originals are putting on, and you want to stop by the show, come on and see us, right? And so one of the guys who owns the restaurant, who I like a lot, says, hey, I'll have, you know, he had one of his junior partners reach out to me, right? And he's like, yeah, we'd love to be on, blah, blah, blah. And I said, cool, we're going to have you on 7:45, if that's cool, whatever. He goes, yeah. Then he asked me for directions, which is fine. It's never easy to find Saddam Spider Hole down here, right? And then he goes, yeah, I'll try to make it. And I'm like, why don't you not come? It's like, yeah, we're working on it. I'm gonna try to make it. That's okay. It happens. All right. What else? Is there something else going on today other than pizza throwdown? I can't wait to see Dr. Neil on Monday for the forest fire update. That's going to be, like, rocking. That's going to be award-winning radio right there. Well, let's get down. Let's do the rundown. Let's run this down. NPR does a story about the lockdown impact on student development. And I almost feel like I want to do it in my NPR voice the entire time, which would be great. But everything we've ever told you about what down starts coming true more and more, sad to say. What else do we got here today? We'll talk about the Supreme Court decision on the concealed carry thing a little bit. What else do we got here today? We will talk about the Homeland Security's warning for pro-life pregnancy centers and Catholic churches and such, or any church that has a pro-life stance, that be ready for domestic terrorism. We'll get to that. We'll get to Joe Biden's cheat sheet, which is so beautiful. We have the gun bill passed the Senate. We'll talk about that. Yes, it's Homeland Security tells churches and pregnancy centers to be braced for a violent pro-abortion night of rage. Joe mentions there'll be a second pandemic coming.
Because they told him to on his cue card.
We'll get to the cue card. You're going to, due to high inflation and the cost of stuff, we have an interesting place to where you donate stuff to make more money. We'll talk about that. The filmmaking bill is in the works and looking pretty good to a possible approval, but we'll talk about that. Anthony Perkins, excuse me, Steve Kozacik, has a he wants to build a village for the homeless. We'll talk about that. Arizona budget, we got to do that. The other thing is, too, is, and it's a friend of mine who lives over in that Menlo Park area, we were talking, and she was like, dude, do you understand this thing with the guy who crashed the truck at the Mercado, right? And what she was saying, and what's so sick about that is, if you read the KVOA story, right, it says he was shooting at both cops and bystanders.
And people, right.
Right. So this is where we're at. And then she said, well, it's like living in, she goes, Tucson's like living in Sinaloa, right? And my thing is, I don't even think the cartels shoot at the bystanders too much. They're usually shooting at cops, journalists, and government officials. This is a random, drugged-out society that's growing in Tucson that all this chaos is coming from. But think about this. They're the beautiful Mercado building, right? You know, and it's got my La Estrella in there, Say's Kitchen. It's got the coffee place. It's got the Augustine Kitchen. I like that facility. I keep saying it over and over again. I wish I had five Mercado kind of that development all around Tucson. Imagine if you had one on the east side. I'd love one in Oral Valley, right? That open feel, love it. Okay. But when you have a guy running around the streets outside the Mercado, shooting at bystanders and cops, and again, I don't, Tucson, remember when that cop got shot on the belt, right? By that guy, right? And that, if that thing went 6 inches higher, that officer could be dead. And we got a whole other story. Tucson, I don't know what I don't know what kind of trees Rahina's praying to, right? But we are literally dodging bullets out there, right? If a bystander got whacked at the Mercado, where are we at? Right? Because that becomes a new, a cop getting shot would be a news story. A family, a 10-year-old with his family at the Mercado getting whacked, that becomes a huge story. Right? And then if you had any sort of journalist on a national basis going, what's going on in Tucson, say, you eventually get to the point that we're at the lowest police staffing levels since the Mets won the World Series in 86.
Sergio hit it on the head. We're descending into Gotham.
Right.
That's what we got.
It is.
Got the Riddler and the Joker and the Penguin, everybody running around, and it's nuts.
Yeah. Again, like I said, and you got a city council that's just worthless. Worthless. Again, like I said, between Kozachik, the literally mayor tree hugger, right? Nikki Lee, the invisible woman, right? I mean, she could have been somebody that really bring this place out of the doldrums, and they put her in a corner.
When do people ask about the influence of her employer on the mayor? When do people ask about that? Anybody else, they'd say, oh, so-and-so works here, and their policies are influencing what they do at their job.
Sure.
As mayor. When does somebody ask, what is it, the Southwest Center for
Biological Diversity.
I'm sorry, the Center for Biological Diversity.
She's the director of Hispanic Outreach.
Yep. So when does somebody say, hey, they're running the city here?
Well, and again, that's, see, what you're doing foolishly.
Foolishly and naively.
Is working out of the land of logic, right? Who has the chutzpah to do that story?
Tree equity, come on.
Trequity. All right. Who has the stones to do that story? Or the depth in the Tucson media? It ain't Kurt Pendergrast. It ain't little Timmy. Right? And the other thing is, it really comes down to the editors. Like, Caitlin Schmidt, I could do a good story on that, right? But will her editors even let that pass? Get or even tell her to go? If she said, hey, I like to say, eh. Because they know where it leads. So, Sergio's right. We are now the Southwest Gotham, is what we're turning into.
We passed Detroit. And now we're at Gotham.
Let's talk about Detroit of the Desert when we come back, because that was such a key phrase in the old days. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Syndicate of Sound, Sweethearts of the Rodeo.
All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. We're moving towards through our last day of the S's on Bump Music. Monday is T, so we'll definitely play They Might Be Giants, We Live in a Dump, by our good friend Christian Schmidt. So Matt, you got a call from a listener who was a little shy about coming on.
Right.
What did this young man say to you?
Well, he says, normally I'm on board with you guys, but he says, I think you got it all wrong about the city council. He says, they are the group of Batman villains.
Ah, I see what you're saying. So let's see. So we know, I originally was going to say Poison Ivy for Nikki Lee, because she's kind of tallish, but then I was thinking, but with the plant motif, it's got to be the mayor, right? So the mayor would be Poison Ivy, right? So then Kozachik, because of his Frank Gorshin-esque anorexia, would be the Riddler, right? Right. Now, the other thing about Kozachik, and this is something where we'll all laugh together, okay? When he says there's a village... he wants to build. Now, Doug Martin suggested this to these people 7-8 years ago. Maybe we need to have an area where we bring all the homeless folks, where all the nonprofits who can help them, like a one-stop shop. But I mean, not so Gospel Rescue has their Center for Opportunity, right, which has that one-stop shop. But some of these folks who don't want to be around institutions of things, right? And of course, what happened was, I think what Doug will tell you, that the response from the city council is, oh, that's, you know, we're stigmatizing them, blah, whatever we're doing, right? So Kozacik now wants to do a homeless village, according to Craig Smith at KGUN 9. But here's the funny thing is, so this is the key phrase. Just go to the last paragraph. He says if he can convince them to support the living area, could be set up very quickly. So this is what I tell everyone who's a Kozacik fan. Because he has an opinion about everything. He's worse than me. Okay? Please let me know. This is back to that question I asked McCluskey years ago. When was the last time Ray Carroll got 3 votes at the Board of Supes to do something that made Pima County better? Right? And for the first time ever, Sean McCluskey, speechless. Okay?
Not easy to do.
So I asked this question of Kozacik fans. He's on a 7-0 Democrat vote. He betrayed the Republican Party and became a D. Right? He should be hailed as a hero. There's constituents in Steve's district who thinks he's the bee's knees. But please, someone tell me, when has Steve Kozacik gotten 3 other Democrat votes to get anything passed in the city? I'm not even going to say if it's good or bad. I just want to know anytime that he got 3 votes to get anything done. And I think, and he's been there now for 12 years. I think he's 0 for everything. That's where you're at. So, yes, I would love your opinion on what other Batman villains do the city council remind you of, right? If the mayor's Poison Ivy, Steve's the Riddler. Now, Kevin Dahl's tough to do because no one knows what Kevin Dahl is. And is there a... Well, of course, Raul Grijalva's the Penguin. That's very true. Similar silhouette. Okay. And they did portray as the Penguin moved on through the comic books, he was portrayed as kind of a crime lord. So that you know, Raul's kind of a spiritual crime lord around here. Ekstrom could be, you know, Penguin Jr., right? And then I don't know what to do. I'm trying to figure out what Batman villain the dude would be. Oh, I know who he would be. You remember the original Superman movie, right? With Christopher Reeve, right? And Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor. You remember that movie?
Sure.
Been a while. You remember the guy who was Lex Luthor's right-hand man, played by Ned Beatty? His name was Otis. He was kind of dumb and a dumb doofus. I think that would be Cunningham. He'd be Otis. It's Otisville. Otisville? Yeah, it's just a little town, Mr. Luthor. Right? I'm kind of thinking that'd be for the dude. I think he'd be Otis. So we'll work on this. What do we got to get to? Well, let's get to a little state budget stuff. I want to get to that. And then this story about coping with inflation and the high price of everything in Tucson is so Tucson, a story at KOLD by Shelby Slaughter. Because Bud Foster would never allow himself to be seen at a place like this. So wake up, Tucson, 10th of the Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So we were talking about Detroit of the Desert, right? This is a term that was very prevalent in discussions 10 years ago. And I think I want to apologize to Detroit right now because I feel like Detroit has been probably making a little bit more of a comeback than we have. Okay. Now, I didn't want to get into it, but, you know, if you put Detroit in the desert, Tucson, actually our interview that we did with Ted Nugent we talk about that, right? And Ted talks about a man defecating in the middle of the street when he was back for an Amboy Dukes reunion as kind of one of the things of where bad policies lead you. Now remember, I think in those days, at least when that happened, Detroit still made that as something where the cops would arrest you for. Remember, Chris Magnus made that you're allowed to do that, and the cops, in general orders, they don't arrest you for that anymore. Thank you. But, you know, I was looking, so the other thing was, so then I looked up, and there was a column, May 18th, 2012, right, by two scrappy radio hosts, okay? And so, just remember, this is 10 years ago. Right? 10 years and a month ago. So the Tucson region has made another list of distinction. This week, a new poll came out listing the top five cities for small business. No surprise that three of them are in Texas. Okay? At the other end, the bottom five cities that made up think about this. The worst five cities for small business were three cities in California, Detroit, and then, as we wrote it, our very own Detroit of the Desert, Tucson. This was done by the Kauffman Foundation. Follows up on two previous lists, one by the Brookings Institute that put Tucson in the 40th percent of poor performing cities in economic recovery, and Forbes putting us at 165 of 200 cities for business. Now, listen to what Joe and I wrote, if you didn't know that we were the scrappy radio show hosts in those days, okay? This is what Joe and I wrote 10 years ago as challenges for Tucson and why we were like that, okay? Lack of private sector leadership, right? Chambers, all that other crap. Has anything changed in the chamber situation of Tucson, Arizona? The answer would be no, okay? We still have the worst private sector leadership community ever, okay? Someone was asking me about, like, these people that run these things, right? Rob Elias at the Hispanic Chamber, Guyman at the Chamber, and then Zach at Young Professionals. And I said, three very nice guys who like to have lots of forums, but nothing gets done. That's where we're at. Then Machine Politics was number two. We got all that, right? And then it says, if voters keep electing incumbents, Tucson's destined to remain at the bottom of the list for prosperity while watching the rest of the state and country passes by. 10 years ago. We hate being right. We don't want to be right. But 10 years ago, so who's still around? Kazachik and Rahina. Right? The dude was pretty much almost been there for 10 years now. So we said, if you keep electing these people, this is what you got. The filmmaking bill in Southern Arizona gets a boost because they have a budget supposedly now at the state of Arizona, $15 million, possibly pushing $16
billion. Yeah, 15. Can you believe that?
I remember the old days when it used to be eight.
Wasn't the budget $18 billion the total thing?
Could be. I thought I saw 16, but it's a little bit of coin. Now, what was interesting is about this this tax rebate bill for films, right? Is it starts at $75 million to 2023, $100 million, $125 million, and tops out at $125 million. One film can receive $25 million, supposedly. I don't know if I kind of dig that. We're going to give Hollywood $25 million? Again, if they get their wish, I'd love to see them make it happen. But I doubt it. So, this is by Shelby Slaughter at KOLD. Matt, guess what Tucsonans are doing to make some extra dough to pay for gas. After I just did that survey that was up on Channel 3 in Phoenix, right? They said that 10% of Americans are saying that they're skipping meals now because they can't afford them.
I know the answer to this one.
Let's play a little vaudeville act. Matt, guess what people are doing to make money to pay for their bills?
Selling plasma.
Correct. Let me ding you. Here you go. So according to Shelby Slaughter's piece, We had Dr. Jennifer Hayes, the division director of CSL Plasma. You can make up to $1,000 a month by donating your plasma. We're seeing an
increase. I'll be back in a few minutes.
It's related to the economy, and she says, "Is it related to the economy? It sure can be." What do you think, genius? So let me tell you this part, okay? So I asked some business folks to tell me what things are looking like in relation to their businesses, right? This is restaurant people. What are you looking for? What are you looking at? And I told them, look, whatever you tell me is confidential. I'll say what's going on without saying the name of your business, okay? So one of our business owners, one of our restaurant owners, and this is someone who's been in business quite a while in the Tucson, Arizona market. As for your Facebook question about decline in sales, last summer we saw a 5% decline. This summer we are seeing year to year a 20 to 25% decline in business. I think it has to do with inflation, the ridiculous cost of goods, and the overall fact that people have less disposable income, right? Another one of our restaurant friends who have been out there for a while. Even with rising costs, I've been able to keep my food cost percentage in check. There simply isn't anyone going out. I am down 53% in business levels. It's difficult to sit around all day and wait for free people to stroll in. What's my other one? And then, of course, we have someone who's not in the business. It's someone who's in the fitness business. They're slightly up over the year before. He also said that a lot of Tucsonans are, you know, all the scaredy cats are finally getting out on their vacations, which is possible. So, but it's tough out there, man. That's the reality of it. So when you see that Tucsonans are trying to earn up to $1,000 a month donating their plasma. It's tough out there, and our business owner, especially if you're in the food business, woof. So if you're in the food business and you got to deal with the crazy price of food right now, right? So you got that going on. Then at the same time, you can price yourself out of your market, right? So I guess if you're living in the Oro Valley foothills area, and you got to raise the price of your hamburger $3. Or something, that's not going to bother the foothiller as much as it bothers someone possibly on Wilmot and 22nd. And that's the danger of it, right? And also if I want to talk about price of meat, I just hang out with Kent at the sausage shop. So when I'm there and I talk to him, I go, hey, the guy's been buying meat, pork and chicken in this market for 30 years. And I'll say, hey, how's the price of meat? And he goes, well, this one's down a few cents, but then they get you in other places where those are up. So there is no change. Everything's expensive. And something's got to get going. What I'm amazed at is how nice and calm all you people have been in the streets of Tucson and America, right? We're starting to see some protests in Europe of people talking about the cost of living and everything like that. I don't see anything from America. We're just chilling. We're just cool. America's got talents on. Right? They got some guys who can spin some plates on their heads. I mean, it's awesome. I got it. NBA draft. Kardashians are still in the news. Right? Legalized marijuana. I mean, you guys are. I feel like the American citizens are way too nice and docile.
What's crazy to me, and I'm taking.
I'm not calling for revolution, but I am calling for protests. Right. Well, the revolution needs to happen in a nicer way. But
to me, what I'm seeing lately is that the move to marijuana, legalizing marijuana and criminalizing cigarettes and nicotine. That, to me, is the most bizarre, you know. I'm not saying that cigarettes are good for you. It's a bad thing, but, I mean, they're not good for you. That's the point,
So we banned Juuls.
Right. And he wants to criminalize nicotine.
Right.
But
marijuana's cool.
Full speed ahead, you know, on cannabis.
And we're starting to find out that these people that are vaping THC at these high levels are actually verging or crossing into the psychotic world, which is not good for anybody. We're going to find that out with some of these shooters and stuff like that. That we're going to start seeing that they're vaping THC. And all you people that said, get more, well, man, hemp makes rope, bro. What's your problem? You know, when we come back, I want to do this NPR story of they actually got onto the learning loss finally in June of 2022, NPR. And then we'll talk about a friend of mine who she teaches in Yuma. She's a teacher that's been teaching for 30 years in the public schools. And I asked her what's going on in Yuma public schools compared to what Lawrence was telling us in TUSD. And it's frightfully similar. So, and it ties into the NPR story. So we'll do that. And then we are 20 minutes from the 27th annual Wake Up Tucson Pizza Summit, which is going to just blow your mind. Blow your mind. Blown away, George. Blown away.
By request, the Straub's Blue Angel. Little sugar loaf by request on...
Woo! Lady. I think it was that. Lady. Now, did I hear that? I had to go get Rocco at the door, but did I hear someone requested Straub's?
Correct.
Who was that?
Brian.
Our guy, Brian?
Yeah. Yep.
So Straub's was a British folk rock group, 70s. They've been going on. They had lots of different configurations, and I actually got to see an acoustic Straub's concert during the Rhythm and Roots series, as we used to call it, at La Cucina there at Old Town Artisans.
Really?
So I remember my buddy Steve, who was also he's my guy who works for Cigar Aficionado, Wine Spectator. He's a prog rock guy. And we went to go see David Cousins and Acoustic Straub's at Old Town Artisans. This is years ago.
Oh, cool.
Very fun show. Beautiful night.
That'd be like, kind of a neat venue for that.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was real beautiful. Real beautiful. NPR, Lakshmi Singh at NPR. So this is called, this is by Manuelo. Now, see, Manuelo's, you got to have three names. Okay, I mean. If you're working at NPR, you got to have the three names or it don't work, right? So Manuela Lopez Restrepo, okay? School is out, but teacher stress and burnout still in session. Now this story is from June 18th. But in the story, it says, last December, we spoke to teachers about the challenges. And, you know, it's kind of like, I hope this is not based on, did you really hold on to the interviews from last December? Because we didn't want to make it look like we were on the side of Team Reality. That's what when I read that, I was like, what? I mean, NPR, I appreciate it. It looks like you held the story for 6 months while you thought maybe you guys could hold on to some pandemic love and vex. You wouldn't want to hurt any left-leaning school districts who want to lock their kids down, right? Teachers are feeling underwhelmed. I find people crying in the bathroom. That's a teacher from Davenport, Iowa. So, thank goodness. There's some actually updated reporting here. But what they say in the article is, this is from a Tika Boye Logan, a fourth grade teacher in Rowlett, Texas, remarked how many of her students failed to progress in their studies as a result of lockdowns, and how she and her colleagues struggled to close the learning gaps in a piece entitled, We Asked Teachers How They Went. This is the NPR. Here's the quote. I feel like at the beginning of the school year. Now remember, this is math hall home of champions, okay? She's a fourth grade teacher. Fourth. I feel like Molly Shannon. I'm 50. 5-0. A kick, a stretch, and a kick again, right? So she's a fourth grade teacher. She says, I feel like I'm at the beginning of the school year. I basically got second graders because that's where they were at the point where they were in school full time. So even though you're a fourth grade teacher, you're teaching kids who are emotionally at a second grade level. And academically, we're back to working miracles like, hey, we need to get these kids caught up and we need to fill the gaps, unquote. Susan Polk Hofsis. And you can't have, if you're going to be on NPR, no, you got to have three names or it doesn't work. Oh, if they have a Jane Brown, I'm going to fall off my chair. She's a pre-K teacher in Millbridge, Maine. And she talks about how the mental health issues compounded the academic struggles. They were worried about students that they had this year because they saw a lot of depression. Someone even brought up cutting. They were afraid that that student would begin cutting again, unquote. Cutting, of course, is, you know, self-harm through slicing your arm or whatever with a razor blade. Students were learning in isolation. Then they came back. They were overwhelmed and they experienced a trauma. And unfortunately, all schools were not equipped to deal with the trauma that the students had experienced during the pandemic, unquote. 70% of U.S. public schools have an increase of students seeking mental health, according to data from the National Center of Education Statistics. It's also found that 3/4 of public schools reported an increase in concerns from staff regarding student depression, anxiety, and trauma since lockdowns began. Some academic experts responded to NPR by... This is from off a Fox News story talking about this. Some academic experts responded to NPR by arguing their reporting was delayed, with one teacher referring to it as gaslighting. File this in the ever-growing things we warned about 2 years ago and were ignored, canceled, and shunned for. So it took NPR 6 months after they started talking to teachers to actually do a story about all the damage that lockdowns did to kids. Now think about this, right? We got some school districts here that non-lockdowns got problems. Right? When you take Amphi, TUSD, Sunnyside, probably parts of the Flowing Wells district, right? Then it just all magically blows up in an exponential way that's scared, frightening, and not good for this town. Well, hopefully when those kids graduate and don't know how to read, we'll give them free internet. Now we're off with all that heavy stuff. We're done. Cast off your all your cares. We're entering into the 27th annual Pizza Summit. Now you say, Chris, you've only been on the air for 13 years. How can you have a 27th annual Pizza Summit? Don't ask. Just enjoy the talk about pizza. We want to take your calls before the show's over about your favorite pizza places in Tucson and maybe one from the home country. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Rocco and Matt Russell coming up next.